In a galaxy far, far away, there has been an awakening in the Force. A new entity rising out of the shadows to be our only hope. And the Star Wars Destiny website that I have been looking for. Top Deck TCG. This place is the bright center of the universe for all your gaming needs. Top Deck TCG has everything that is Star Wars Destiny. Use the promo code REBEL when checking out to receive 10% off your entire order. Now, that's a deal even the Hutts can get behind.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
This is Ashton from Jackalman Games, and you're listening to I Rebel, a Star Wars Destiny podcast.
Forgery of Imperial documents. Possession of stolen property, aggravated assault.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso, we have a mission for you.
I want to help.
Good.
The world is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
Every day, they grow stronger.
There isn't much time.
I rebel.
Welcome, everyone, to I Rebel. I am Jedi Geek Girl, and joining me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Sarah.
Hello.
How are you doing this week, Sarah?
I'm really good. The sun is shining, and Convergence is on its way, so what more can you ask for?
I know that the weather is a lot better than what it used to be, but I would say that warmer weather would be nicer.
It's pretty good here, so I can't complain.
Since the last time we talked, you went and saw Captain Marvel. How did you like that?
I really enjoyed it, yeah. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I kind of predicted it may be a little bit overhyped because people were just getting, you know, hyped up for the next Avengers film that's right around the corner, but I really enjoyed it.
That's fantastic. I know that I really enjoy it. I saw it 4 times and I'm thinking about going to see it a 5th time. I just really enjoy it. For some reason, I really get absorbed into the film and I have not gotten that way about a film in so long. I mean, I really love the Star Wars films, but those are such an emotional journey, excluding Solo. Solo was kind of boring to me, but the other 3, I could probably get absorbed into those, but you can only watch those emotional films, at least for me, only so much before they lose their resonance.
What's your record for seeing stuff at the movies?
It would be Captain Marvel with 4 viewings, and if I see it another time, that would be 5. It was tied with The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, Solo, and The Dark Knight, but yeah, I shattered that record, and who knows what episode 9 will be.
That's quite impressive.
We are not alone. Joining us for this episode is the man you may know from Jackalman Games as Riddlebox. We call him Mr. Green, the one, the only, Ashton.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. You guys were talking about weather earlier, and so I live in Florida, and Florida somehow just has like changed its whole weather pattern, I feel. So like in the mornings, it's like 40, 50 degrees, and then like maybe 2-3 o'clock, it's like 80, 90 degrees, and it's like really weird. So we've been having a weird weather pattern down here. But other than that, doing good. People have been getting sick and colds and all that kind of fun jazz because of the change. But doing very well and staying busy.
I don't know. I would really like that weather. But then again, I prefer your warmer weather. Without all the tropical storms, I think I would really like that. But we were talking about Captain Marvel. And briefly, have you seen it? And if you have, what are your thoughts?
I have not seen it yet. I'm trying to plan a trip with my boy Nick, which is part of the Jackalman crew, to go see it. So I'm kind of waiting till I can go see it with him.
Moving right along into this podcast proper, we can talk about Captain Marvel all episode, but that's not why we're here. Jumping right in, how has your week been in Star Wars Destiny?
So it's been pretty busy. The crew that we kind of travel with, when we run to local tournaments and like regionals or store championships, they came down from Alabama and we went to a tournament this weekend. So we've been kind of prepping for that and trying to get the proxies and stuff we do out to everybody. So between that and just play testing, I pretty much settled on continuing to run Talzin Beckett, and we went to the tournament this weekend, and we actually brought the trophy home. I actually took third place, but my buddy Nick, he took first, and it really came down to that last round if it was going to push me down to third if he didn't win, or if it would push me to first if he lost. So it was an interesting week, staying really busy. I'm super excited to actually have time to play some Destiny here amongst everything else, but staying very active.
What was the attendance like?
So total, we brought six people with us. So that was like half of the attendance. So there's like I think 11, 12 people there. So it wasn't very big, but you know, we try to bring a showing to keep the numbers up, to keep people excited about the game and know that if they show up, there will be a good attendance. So not as many as we would like, but we're looking about like 12 people.
That's okay for end of meta, I suppose. You have to really give people reasons to come.
Yeah.
So my week in Star Wars Destiny has been pretty quiet, actually. I kind of decided to take a bit of a break from playing, sort of the quiet before the storm. I've just mostly been kind of looking at decks, because we've got a GQ right around the corner in a couple of weeks, and we were told that starters wouldn't be legal, so I was starting to have a look through the cards and see what sort of deck I could make, especially for trilogies. It just seemed really difficult, and it just seemed like you just basically had to put anything in there that you could. But now we've been told that starters are coming out at the same time and it will be legal. So I'm just going to go back and redo what I've looked at before. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet for me. I've just kind of just taken a little bit of a step back this week.
That is awesome. I know that I saw that announcement and I was so happy for you because we don't get that for Adepticon. I know that I have Adepticon coming up, but my week in Star Wars Destiny has been the same as it was last time. It has been kind of boring. I'm kind of like waiting for the new set to come out. I don't have time to sit down and build, but I pretty much have an idea of what I'm running. I have to come up with a trilogy deck, but I just might as well just make my Vader deck trilogy just because, I don't know, I'm not familiar with 3-wide and it might be kind of boring if everybody's playing the same thing. I'd rather just play a deck that I really enjoy and do fairly decent than play a deck and not know what I'm doing and hope that I do well. Even though the Shadowcaster is like the best deck in trilogy, I don't know. I might build it. I don't know. I really haven't decided, but I got a crunch because I leave for Adepticon here in a couple of days. So that's basically what I've been up to.
Have you tried switching out Greedo with Battle Droid? I think it's quite popular in trilogies.
No, but I might do that because I've been wanting to try Vader with Red, so I might actually do that. Plus, it doesn't take that much time to build that deck, so yeah, I think I might try that. Moving on to general Star Wars, how has your week been in Star Wars?
So for me, I have finally got kind of the chance, like in this whole Star Wars world that I try to keep up with when I can, I just started diving into the new series, the new animated series. And I've been enjoying it, and I've only got like 3 episodes in, but I feel so far they've done really well. So kind of catching up on that and getting introduced to the new characters and the new story that we're kind of like seeing unfold. So as far as Star Wars, that's kind of what I've been doing.
It's actually pretty good. I was surprised. I know that like watching it and I was like, wow, I'm really invested in it. I was surprised how much I was actually into the series and I really was enjoying it. It's not like this huge epic thing like the Clone Wars, but once you get past the introduction of the characters and the storyline gets a lot more serious and heavy, even though it's still a lighter tone compared to like darker series. I mean, it is an animated kids show. It's still pretty good. So I'm excited for you and I'm looking forward to your opinion once you complete the series.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely looking forward to like diving back in during the week as I kind of settle down in the evenings and try to see how well they do it. I mean, the animation's really good. The artwork's not too kiddie, so it's still like engaging. I don't feel like I'm watching like a cartoon. I don't feel like I'm watching an anime. I feel like it's got its own little like art style, which is neat. I mean, they do really well. I mean, the story is really rich. There's no like dead space. So I think it's going to do well.
It reminds me of The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
It's the same artwork. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I remember when the game came out, there was a lot of complaining, but I really enjoy it. I really like getting lost and like it could be a show, it could be a video game. And I thought that that was a great look for the show and I really enjoyed it. But yeah, I watch it and I'm like, this reminds me so much of Wind Waker and I love that game. So
I can't believe I didn't put those two together. That's so crazy. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite Zelda game, so I'd probably really like the art style as well based on that. So for me, in terms of Star Wars, it's been pretty quiet again. I dived a bit more into the Age of Republic comics. So I sat down for like 40 minutes and just read like the four I have. Enjoyed them. I would say they're probably hard to kind of get into because they are so short. It kind of leaves you thinking that, you know, they could have done a couple more comics in the series. But other than that, it's been fairly quiet for me.
There are some good ones. Like, I really love the Padme one. I love the Grievous one. I love the Jango one. The Qui-Gon and Maul one are all good. I think they're good. Yes, they are kind of small and you're kind of left wanting more. I also like the Dooku one. But they are still pretty solid stories for what they are. I mean, they're a lot better than some other one-shots that have been made. And I'm looking at you, Crate. The one about Crate. That one was kind of a little lackluster. But then again, the art in that one was really kind of difficult to look at. But yeah, I really enjoy them. And I'm happy to hear that you're diving into them a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I'm trying to get more into... I'm hoping this will get me back into Aphra once I've kind of finished reading these. Because I've stalled a bit on that. So I'd like to sort of get me back into the comic reading mood.
Are you reading the main series?
Yes.
Yes, because it's kicking into high gear, so.
Yeah, so I've been buying them, I think, so they complement them into volumes, and I'm about halfway through volume two. I really enjoyed volume one, but for some reason I've just kind of fallen away, and I need to get back into it.
I would really like to talk with you more about what you have read, because like I said, the books and the comics are my jam, so it's right up my alley. For me, my week in Star Wars has been basically diving back into Legends, where the first book of the Quillen, I can't really pronounce it, Ambush at Corellia, Han's Planet. So I'm diving into that trilogy and I'm really enjoying it. It's kind of a little bit slower compared to other trilogies, but it's really well written. And I'm thinking that hopefully I will be able to finish the book that I'm reading now and the second book before Celebration, because when Celebration hits, the early release as Celebration exclusive of Master and Apprentice will be there, and I will be diving into that as soon as I get it because I am so excited. I know that Green Shadow really got me excited for prequel content, and Qui-Gon Jinn, I love him.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting more into the books, and I'm really kind of leaning on you going forward, I think, to kind of guide me if you're up for it.
Oh, yeah, of course. At any time you have any questions, just shoot me a question because I can recommend pretty much anything for you.
Yeah, you've really established yourself, I think, as the go-to person.
For me, trying to read anything is like really tough for me. I don't have the attention span for it. I'll read the comics, which I've gotten into. I've always wanted to get into the books because like the covers and like the backstory just is so enticing. But unfortunately, I haven't been able to dive into any of them. I tried to start the Aftermath series and I just couldn't get through it just because of just time frame and attention span to it. But everyone who has dived into any book series of Star Wars has never been disappointed. And I know that speaks a lot for itself, where I should probably try to keep my attention towards it to go through it, but I haven't. So if you have any recommendations for me, let me know and I'll try to see if I can dive a little bit more into it sometime.
I highly recommend audiobooks if reading is too difficult for you. Or if you would like to watch some videos on YouTube, there's a lot of recap shows like Star Wars Explained does a great job if you want to find out like more information about canon or legend. He does a great job of recapping everything. So that would be one of my recommendations, is Star Wars Explained and audiobooks.
I did get through the Darth Plagueis audiobook where this guy did a series on YouTube, and that was really awesome. So that did help. That's good advice. Because for something like that, like if I'm, let's say I'm mowing grass or I'm doing this or working out for the day or whatever, I can just put that on, listen to it, and get through it. Because there's so much lore there. And as you play even Star Wars Destiny or watch any of these other shows, you get so much more value if you dive into the literature that's available to us. So it's definitely worth digging if you watch anything Star Wars into any lore, because it just makes it that much more vibrant.
Before we go any further, I want to take this time out to announce that the I Rebel Discord channel is now public. If you would like to join us over on Discord, please shoot us a message or check the show notes down below for a link to our Discord channel. And we hope to see you on the flip side and talking all about Star Wars, Star Wars Destiny, and maybe a little bit of Keyforge. Before we dive into talking about the Jackal Hunt and our main topic, let's catch up a little bit. Jackalman Games has gone through a lot of changes since you last been on. Can you please fill us in on what has changed since you last were on? And what are you guys doing now?
Well, that's a big question. So most people may know, and if not, originally Kevin and myself, we started Jackalman Games a little over a year ago. And we tried to put out a lot of content, things that we felt was really fun and entertaining, from live streams to TTS gameplays. But I come from a big like tech background and a creative like design background. So there was a lot of things in the game that I felt I could do some neat things with, whether it was like custom tokens in TTS or custom like tabletop or whatever the case may be. So me and Kevin started down this path. We tried to get a little bit more into the competitive side of things for tournaments and things locally and store championships and regionals and things of that sort. So we brought on a good friend of ours, Ray. People know him now as Thunder. He's the co-host with Mr. Chip on Discard Reroll. He was with us for a while, and him and myself, we did a lot of content, tried to put a lot of stuff out on TTS, meta talks, and it just kept us super, super busy between myself and Ray. So Ray ended up going out, just kind of doing his own thing. He was in the military. He was staying super busy. So he kind of disconnected from Jackalman to kind of take a step back to kind of organize his schedule a bit more and not get so overwhelmed with things. When that happened, we brought on a few more guys. We brought on Jeff and James, which are doing articles for us. We brought on Eric, which is our main guy who stays on top of like our vlogs for competitive gameplay and is able to travel a lot to do a lot of the tournaments. So he kind of covers that for us. And Deanna is, she's one of the Jackalmen or Jackalwoman on our team that travels a lot with Eric and James. So she kind of helps with just basically playing the game and trying to top most events. And then Nick is the last of the seven Jackalmen. He's kind of my right hand. What he does is he helps me with connecting with Patreon, sending out products, helping me edit things if I need them, shipping, whatever the case may be. So he's kind of like our go-to guy when we all get busy. So what we did is we realized that Jackalman Games was trying to cover a wide spread of things, from tournaments to in-game content to vlogs, deck techs, TTS, YouTube content for streaming, all sorts of things, articles, custom content. So we decided that we would just kind of branch out to the lucky seven, and that is our cap. We're not adding any more people, and if we have anybody that basically dips out or a spot gets open, then we would try to fill that spot to keep the seven together. So we've expanded quite a bit in our team. Everybody that kind of does content has a team, and that team usually has certain things that they do. Okay, so, and that's kind of what we've done here to kind of keep things running smooth and deliver content. We've definitely been pushing quite a bit of content out here in the last few months. So we're pretty happy of our results, and so far it's going really well.
So you guys do the cards for TTS, and I know the community is hugely thankful for that. So how did that sort of come to be?
When we started playing on TTS and started doing live streams, we were getting ready to, I think the set that was getting ready to drop was Legacy. So we're like, you know, we really want these cards, and they were getting spoiled online. And I'm like, how do I get these cards in the game? Like, this doesn't, like, I want to play with these cards. And I don't really have a lot of people close to me that I can play in real life. So TTS was my go-to platform. So I was like, well, here's what I'm going to do. Like, I have a Photoshop background and graphic design background, a computer background. I'm sure I can figure out the code. I'm sure I can figure out how to import these into the game. So I did. It was kind of a long trial and error process, but I got the cards and I got the dice into the game, and it functioned perfectly. So we started having those cards imported into TTS when we did our live streams, and it just took off. You know, people were really excited for them. People really wanted to get their hands on them. So we did certain things to try to make it easier for them. And that's kind of been my main project. So what happens is if I dip out for a while, that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm trying to update our website, trying to get the TTS proxies in the game. And I actually completed the last set of Across the Galaxy by myself. That was a sole project that was pretty tasking. But I was able to get all the cards and the dice in there labeled. And I've almost completed the full set. I think we're at 155 cards now. That's kind of where I'm at now. And I'll be finishing the set. And then I get them over to good old Elrond, which is also known as Blizzard. He's the guy who created the TTS mod itself. Me and him kind of work hand in hand. So once they're all created, I give them to him. He compresses them and he puts them in TTS to where people don't have to download a separate file. They just basically go to their Star Wars Destiny database, build their decks, and then it'll import into his mod that he created. So I just kind of got involved with it because I wanted them for us to playtest. And then obviously people needed them as well. So we just really made sure we could provide them to the public and get them out as fast as we can.
How long does that usually take you from, you know, sort of doing the Photoshop work and then to them being live available?
So in the beginning, it took quite some time because I had to do everything individually. And of course, like anything else, once you realize that you want to continue doing it and as the volume increases, you find shortcuts. So before, I mean, it would take hours and hours and hours to get like maybe 30 cards in. Now I'm able to do, let's say the last set when Padme dropped, those cards took me about an hour and a half. So, I mean, it's not fast because by the time you get the cards cropped down, import them in the game as a custom deck, make all the 6 die sides, import the die into the game, make sure everything's sized correctly, then get it all saved, upload it to the website, ads made. I mean, the whole process can take an hour and a half to 2 hours. And that can be from anywhere between, you know, just depends, 5 to 8 cards. So, I mean, it takes a lot of time. I probably put in, all in all, if I get in the groove, put some music on and just knock them out, all in all, a set of like 180 cards, let's say, or an expansion, a core set of like 200 cards or so is probably going to take me, I don't know, 40 hours, 50 hours, maybe.
Wow.
So, I mean, it takes some time.
Just thank you for your spending time on that. And I know as a community member who has used TTS lately and used the new cards, just thank you for that.
Oh, of course. We're very happy to do it. We do a little early release for our Patreons just because those guys are, you know, everyone who supports us, we absolutely love and appreciate that. So we do like a little 48-hour quick early release for them, but it will always be out to the public. If people are not a Patreon member, that's completely okay. And we will always have them for everybody free and we will share them around. If anyone has issues, feel free to message me and I will do my best to step you through. And any of the other team members, you can access them or whatever you want to do to communicate through Discord or Facebook. But yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you. It does take some time and I do enjoy doing it. It's really relaxing for me. I'm sure if I really just tried to crank them out, I could get them done a little faster, but it's nice just kind of sit behind the computer, work on Photoshop, listen to some music and knock them out. So it's a win-win for everybody.
I know that when it comes to content creation, you seem to be one of the most busy content creators just because you are managing the website, you're doing the TTS spoilers, and you also do those custom tables, do you not?
Yes, I do.
So I definitely have to ask, what does your spouse and family think of your obsession, if I may use that word?
That's a great word. So my schedule's a little crazy. So I try to get up at like 5-6 in the morning, hang out with my boy Nick. We try to, you know, walk a few miles every morning, go to work. I get home. I'm usually home like 6, 6:30, 7, depends on the day. And then I spend tons of time with the family as much as I can till it's bedtime, which is about 8, 9 o'clock, just depends on when the new baby Alice goes to sleep. After that, then it's time to get to work. So I usually jump in my computer room. I've converted my garage into a theater / computer room. So I jump in here, my little zone, a little man cave. I'm usually working from like 10 to maybe 12 to 1 o'clock in the morning. So I try to do it to where it doesn't interfere with work, doesn't interfere with exercise, doesn't interfere with family. So it took me a while to get that schedule, but it definitely takes some dedication. And if it wasn't an obsession, then I wouldn't be dedicated. But I basically get most of my work done between 10 and 1. That's why everyone gets these proxy drop ads at like 2 in the morning. So far, so good.
Speaking of conversions and spoilers, Convergence is right around the corner. I know I'm very excited. I know, sir, you're excited. I know the community's really excited. By the time this episode is out, Convergence will be released. What are you most excited from it? And what are you looking to build right off the bat?
So for me, I am absolutely in love with Vader's Fist. Most people are. So I am definitely looking to run like a Infest Nest Yoda Fist deck. I'm super excited to run that because I just kind of like those macro style decks. And I like things that offer like beefy supports. I'm looking forward to running Hired Muscle whenever that becomes available to us. So, you know, there's a lot of things there. But right now, I think that's the deck that I'm going to go to just because it's kind of like it has a Towson Beckett feel, which I absolutely am in love with that deck right now. So that'll be my go-to deck at first and then possibly move into Blue Hero next and go from there.
You mentioned a Big Little deck and it makes me appreciate those players because I am one of those. I prefer like a 2-wide. Say, I think you prefer your 2-wide, and Fett prefers a more aggro deck. He was our last guest. And when I'm looking at this format coming up, all I see is like 3-4 wide. And I'm not a fan of that. And I hope that the game will develop to a point where a 2-wide deck will arise, because I feel like if you have a 3-wide or 4-wide deck, the game is a lot more layered because you are trying to figure out the right moves and when to do the right moves, and that can engage people. I think it's important to remember that you do have 2-wide players. You do have a simple play style. And that's why I ranked Way of the Force, the meta of it, so low, is because I didn't feel like a 2-wide was viable. And I think that for a healthy format, we need a 2-wide deck. So hopefully Enfys is that deck. I am thinking about playing Enfys, but I want to try Aphra and get her on the table first. So.
Oh, of course. And the thing about it is with these 2-wide decks is if you run like a macro deck or something that has like a high sequencing or certain play style or, you know, certain things that you're trying to build and work towards, when you get these beefy supports out, they kind of essentially come like another character because they have these big die sides that can still activate out, and you can kind of slow play some things too to try to get your die out before they can be mitigated. And when you're going against these 3-wide characters, because we all know that, you know, Watt, Snoke, and X is going to be a deck. Like, people are going to experiment with that. That's going to be a big 3-wide villain deck. That's going to do very well. Those decks tend to kind of build a little slower and get their combinations a little slower, but they're huge. But these 2-wide decks that are coming out with these heroes and with like the Enfys Nest Yoda deck we're talking about, they're still going to pack a big punch. So it's neat that we still have these powerhouse cards that we can still access to be able to kind of beat up on the 3-wide. So it's going to be neat. We're going to see how it all unfolds. And yeah, that's my opinion on what I would run in the beginning.
I think Scoundrel is a good card for the deck and will help it be more competitive. But I feel like what I'm seeing with the deck is about 1 or 2 cards away from being more competitive. It's like if we get that 1 or 2 cards that really help the deck out, it seems like the deck could be competitive.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And we still have quite a few cards to be looking for. So I'm sure we'll see. I'm sure we'll see and get something. There's been a lot of cards that have been very flavorful and different. We've been seeing a lot of actions just on characters that aren't power actions. And, you know, with this additional draft set that's coming out, we're going to be getting some more battlefields that have a power action ability. So there's some neat things coming, and I'm sure there's going to be something to put the 2-wide at the next little oomph.
What do you think about Enfys, Sarah?
I'm really excited for her, actually. She's been marked as one of my first ones to try out. Unsure if it's best to put her with Yoda on the hero side or go villain side with Towson. Towson, I'm concerned about having to go with the odd package. I'm not sure if that's going to leave you A, a bit resource dry, and B, just maybe just taking too much of that card pull out that's already quite limited. So I'm not sure. I think Yoda obviously is money-making machine. Fist sounds very tasty indeed. I'm going to try with both, I think, and just see which one works. She's probably going to get better when the draft set drops because we've got that hired muscle, which is a Scoundrel dice. So that's going to make her a lot better. But yeah, I'm going to give her a go with those two pairings and see if one takes.
Hey, Rebels. Bobby Sapphire here. This show is made possible through the generous donations of everyone who's a patron of Ira Bell. It is the pledges of those patrons and you, the listening audience, that makes Ira Bell work. If you'd like to find out more information about the rewards you can get, as well as how you can play a part in Ira Bell, please check out patreon.com/irabelldestiny for more information. I myself am a proud patron of Ira Bell, and I'm happy to share my love of Ira Bell with you by telling you all about their Patreon page. So check it out, and if you like what you see, become a rebel by becoming a patron of Ira Bell. Back to you, Sarah and Jedi Geek Girl.
Let's jump right into why you are here. And why you're here is to talk all about the Draco Hunt. But before we get into it, what is it and when is it?
So the event is going to be a standard tournament with exclusive bounty prizes and raffles that are on all the Jackalmen. The 7 Jackalmen will have a unique bounty on them. So if someone beats us during the tournament, they get a token. And if they continue to play the tournament and beat 3 Jackalmen, they will receive ultimately the 3 tokens that they can use for a big prize that they can cash in. And this will be happening on April 27th at Breakpoint Games in Mount Dora, Florida.
That's a really neat idea. So if someone beats all 3 of you, is that going to be quite a unique thing, do you think? Do you think there's only going to be 1 or 2 people that manage to do that?
Yes. So basically, the event will have all 7 of us, and We'll make sure that everyone kind of gets a chance to play each person, but with seven of us being there, there's a good chance that they could meet up with three Jackmen throughout the tournament. And basically, they would get these token sets, and they would get these power action tokens and custom deck boxes and all these things once they acquire the three tokens of defeat, essentially. So we have like these dog tags that we've been giving out to everyone to kind of promote the event. There is a unique alternate art cards that have like our represented bounty hunter that we're representing. Like, so for example, if you go to the website, jackalmangames.com, and you go into the Jackal Hunt tab, you'll see that each Jackalman is representing a bounty hunter. So for example, I'm Boba Fett and Kevin's Bosk and James is Cad Bane and so forth and so on. We have an alternate art card that will be given out to the individual once they beat us. And once they turn in three of those, they get an exclusive box that's been custom designed by Wiregrass Technologies, or Wiregrass Makerspace is what their new title has become. And these boxes are designed to hold a full set of dice, custom deck, a sideboard essentially, or a second deck if they choose, full set of tokens for damage counters, shields, power action tokens, all Jackalman themed. And on the box, it will say Jackalman Bounty Box. And there's going to be two of those available. And then there will be a large size box that says April 27th Jackal Hunt with our exclusive Jackal Hunt logo for the event on it. And that'll be awarded to the first place amongst tons and tons of other prizes.
You mentioned three of the characters, three of you guys are playing. What are the other four Jackal buddies playing?
So Jeff, which is also known as Headless Django, is playing Django. So that kind of worked out good. Maul is actually going to play Asajj. So I'm really looking forward to that artwork. And Nick is going to be playing Greedo. We have Karma, also known as Deanna. She is going to be representing the bounty hunter Aura Sing. So those are the seven bounty hunters that are going to be there at the event. And all of them will have exclusive alternate art cards with their face on the body. And all that has been designed and actually drawn on a computer and tablet by Tony, which is one of the guys that's part of the Tampa League of Star Wars Destiny. So they're turning out really good. It's been really hard not to spoil some of the artwork. We kind of want there to be a big reveal right before the event. And it's turning out very, very well.
Where did the whole idea for the Jackal Hut event come from?
So Kevin and myself, we've always wanted to do some big event. You know, our goal is to bring entertainment to the community. Our goal is to bring ideas to life, whether it's TTS or custom tables or streams or whatever it is we come up with. Even these table that I've built a lot of tables that people can use to have a built-in dice tray, and they're all one piece instead of a put-together plywood box. We're always looking for something to do to bring to the game, the community, other than just competitive content, because there's a lot of content creators out there that do that. So we wanted to do something that was fun and interactive. So we're like, what if with, you know, we do something bounty hunter oriented? And then this was all talked about before Convergence was ever spoiled. And then when we found out that Convergence had a whole bounty theme, we're like, wow, this worked out really well. Like, that was not planned. So we just went with it. We're like, all right, well, let's do this. We're talking about the event and everyone was super on board and excited about it. And we just decided that, you know, we are going to put on the largest event we possibly can. We're going to try to stream inside the store, stream the top tables, have as many prizes as we can, and do a really neat bounty theme on each person, just similar to like the downgrades and the bounties that we're all experiencing with this new game mechanic inside Star Wars Destiny. So we're like, let's do it. And then we know that we work with a great community and all these other content creators. So we said, well, let's see if we can get them on board and let's see if we can get them to help sponsor, whether it's advertising their products or advertising in some other way, or just sponsoring us by sharing or allowing us to be on their podcast. And everyone's been very nice and welcoming and accommodating. So it's been coming together very nicely.
That is awesome. And I know it's kind of hard to gauge right now, but do you think this will be a one-time thing, or do you think you will do it again, perhaps with a different theme?
So what we have been trying to do is we have like our seasons for our podcast. We also have like our year design for Jackalman. So you'll notice we did like the Jackalmas with the Jackalman with the Santa Claus hat. And we had like this whole neat space theme last year. And this year is our retro theme. And then next year, we're looking at possibly doing something more Egyptian for our next year theme. And what we decided we'd do is do something similar to just that, but for a tournament. So this tournament for the first annual, which means they are going to be once a year guaranteed, is going to be bounty themed. And if we plan it right, we'll try to do something neat every year that's kind of themed around what Destiny is. That's kind of our goal. And usually when we set out to do something, we usually do it, thankfully, if time and life allows it. So our goal is to have one every year. And it may be in Alabama next year. And depending on the turnout for this event this year, there may even be two events a year. There may be a Jackal bounty event called the Jackal Hunt here in Florida, and also one later this year in Alabama. And then next year we will do the next one. Maybe it'll be the Jackal Hunt again, depends on how people like the theme, but we'd like to kind of keep it lively and fresh. So that's where we're at right now in our mindset. So we'll see what happens with the turnout of the first event.
I know that it would not be cheap, but is there any possibility of traveling and hosting it a little farther?
Yes. So we're kind of all spread out, which kind of makes it nice. Kevin's trying to get to Florida. Actually, everybody's trying to get to Florida now because it's just a nice place to be and there's a lot down here. But our goal is to kind of see how this event goes. And we would like to rent out like a convention hall. So Adam, basically what he does is he runs the Capica. And what he has started kind of inspired us to do kind of our own thing. That's kind of where some of the inspiration came from as well. And he actually rents out like a convention hall and does all these neat things. And that's essentially what we want to do. We kind of have to look at how people attend, how people respond to this, what people want to see and where. And we would just basically try to do like our own little like convention, essentially. Just depends. It does take money, like you said, and people are willing to pay to travel, which is good. This community doesn't have a problem traveling, surprisingly. And we're just going to try to accommodate it as best we can.
You have a long list of sponsors and prizes. Who are they? And what's some of the sweet swag you'll be handing out during the event?
Yes. So the list right now consists of 16 sponsors. So of course we have Ira Bell. So thank you so much. So as you know, and if people do not know, there was an ad that I've put on Facebook, and there will continue to be ads all the way up into the event of all of our sponsors and what they're contributing to the event. But we have Ira Bell, which is going to be sponsoring the Outer Rim Outlaw alternate art card, which we're really excited to reveal and show. We have, Top Deck TCG. They're donating a $20 gift card. We have Kappa Cup, which is donating two Dragon Scale deck boxes. We have Chance Cube, which is donating two mats and a set of custom tokens. The Garbage Will Do podcast, which is donating a big batch of Power Action tokens. Hyperloops, of course, is donating mats and tokens. We have Golden Dice. They're donating their really neat resource tokens, which look like the sides of the Golden Dice from Han Solo. We have also Knights of Ren, who is donating with us a full box of Convergence. We have Parker Simpson, which has done exclusive full art, alternate art of Dengar and Boba Fett for the event. And the list just keeps going on and on. More people are signing up. More people are wanting to support. We have ABG Gaming. They're donating a playmat, mugs, hats, Power Action tokens. They kind of sent a bunch of stuff over. We have, I'd be here for a while to explain everything. But people are just keep contacting us saying, hey, is it too late to send you something? Can we, you know, do this? Or can you guys let us know what you need? Or do you need food for the event? I mean, people have just been really accommodating. So it's going to turn out really well.
I am so excited for you. I know that this type of event is something that I would attend if traveling wasn't such an issue for me. Also, Celebration is this year, so that's quite expensive. But if people are excited for this event and are unable to travel, how can they support the event? Is there a way for them to do so? And if so, how?
So if anyone chooses to help sponsor the event or wants to do something to try to boost it or help fund it, there is a donation tab on our website, jackalmangames.com. Anything that we get from our Patreons or anything we get from donations from streams, or just, I had a guy the other day say, hey, you know, you guys do great work. I want to send you $20. How can I do that? And I actually didn't have a way for him to do that. I had obviously a PayPal account, but I set up a little donation tab and he did that. And anything that we receive is going towards this event. So it's going towards maybe seating arrangements or to basically take care of the store that's allowing us to host it, which is Breakpoint Games. So if anyone wants to just support us or donate or do something, it's all going to go towards the Jackal Hunt anyway. It all goes towards the community, whether it's mics to give you guys better audio or cameras or computer parts to make things function faster so we can put things inside TTS. anything that we get from this is all going towards the Jackal Hunt at this time. So if they choose to donate, that's the best way.
This sounds like a really great sort of community event, and it sounds like you've done really well at sort of bringing the community together. I would love to come if I was across that side of the pond. So
I completely understand.
It sounds great. I just love the way you've just sort of, you know, made it such a community event, getting community involved in prizes, and it just sounds fantastic. So if there's a way for people to find out any more information, how can they do that?
So they can go to jackalmangames.com, and there is a big logo that says the Jackal Hunt. There's also a tab that they can click on that says the Jackal Hunt, and that'll kind of give them all the information they need as far as the entry price of $25. There is an early registration link that they can click on, which really helps us. The more that we can get registrations online and kind of processed, it allows us to make sure we have enough room and all the things that we need to help accommodate everybody. Other than that, Facebook's a good way to reach us. There's a lot of information there. Facebook is really the best way to connect to the new things that are coming out, because we have more sponsors down the line that we're waiting to officially receive product from to count them as official. So that way we don't hype something and then it fall through. We don't want them to look bad if something happened with shipping or whatever. You know, everyone's trying to do it the best they can. But any kind of sponsorship or anything that's being contributed to the event is going to be on the Facebook page, lively posted. So that's the best way to kind of keep up with the flow. And then everything's put together in a nutshell on the website.
As previously mentioned, this podcast will be dropping after the release of Convergence. And while we could talk about it, since this episode is releasing later, it will not be applicable. So I thought we could talk about Allies of Necessity, which hopefully should be released soon. Moving on to it, what do you think about the latest draft set? And what are your thoughts so far about what it contains?
So I'm really excited for this draft set. I feel it has more viable cards than what we originally had available to us for the Rivals. I think it's going to do very well. I think there's going to be more cards in there that are going to be more competitive. Maybe stuff that's going to be, you know, tier two, potentially made tier one, just depends on what people put together. But I mean, I'm definitely more excited about drafting this time around. I drafted once or twice with the Rivals draft set, and it was good. It was fun, but I never really felt I could use the characters other than Anakin. Jawa felt nice sometimes, but what we're getting now as far as characters and point values is feeling a lot more comfortable.
Are there any cards that you've pulled out that you think will see competitive play?
I'm definitely feeling we're going to see Hired Muscle. That's for sure. That's going to be there. Shadowed, which is a downgrade, is not bad. Kind of has like a backup muscle kind of feel to it. And let's see, what else do we have? Something that kind of points out to me as well is the test of character. We might see some play, especially like in like a trilogy's format. Obviously, Dooku is going to have some play. We're going to have Count Dooku's lightsaber. Knighthood's really good that we're going to see. As far as gray, we obviously have the droids, the LR-57 combat droid. That's going to see some play. The chance encounter is going to be good in draft itself. I don't know if we're actually going to see a lot of play competitively, maybe. There's some people that are really excited about it. Then there's been some talk that's not going to be that great. Electro Sword, I think that's okay, but it's just too costly. It has that redeploy. Damage is unblockable, but the double blanks in three just doesn't feel good. But as far as the droids and some of these other cards, I think they'll see not a whole lot, but maybe like three or four of them.
I have to agree. I really like this draft set compared to Rivals. You can definitely see the evolution of what they are doing with these draft sets. And this draft set, like, so fits with Convergence and the rest of the block once we get it. I do think that this set will be a bit more competitive than Rivals. Like you mentioned, Hired Muscle is going to see play. Knighthood, I think, will see play. At least people will try to experiment with Ahsoka. The plots on Ace Edition, I think Dooku is one that a lot of people are sleeping on. That's going to be very annoying playing against Dooku and his lightsaber. We will see Kylo see play a little bit, which will be nice. I think Kylo is nice to have in the format, and he won't be as dominating. So I'm really looking forward to it, and it's nice that we have all these cards, and I'm really looking forward to Allies of Necessity. I do think there's something there.
I think we're going to see more play with this, and that's partly just because of rotation. I think we can't be as, you know, some of these events are going to just sort of look a bit more appealing now, because, you know, we haven't got these overpowered events that we had with rivals to kind of compare to. And these are just going to be, these are going to be okay events, I think. And I can see a couple of them slotting into decks. I still think they're generally on the side where they're more sort of not going to seek play than they are. But I think a couple of them might make it through.
Absolutely. And while some of them will not see play, I think you'll see a lot more play with the set than you did with Rivals. I mean, outside of Jawa, maybe, Anakin, there wasn't a whole lot of play being seen in the Rivals set. So,
Bang Fighter felt good, but it didn't get any play. Like, that was a neat card, and I always wanted it to be better, but it might be more playable now. But then it's just like, it didn't feel good at all. It felt like a lot of things could be good, but just fell flat. Here, I feel like there's like at least two or three staple cards that is going to be played in the competitive scene.
All that I know is that I am so excited for a new draft set, because you can only play with Rivals for so long.
I agree.
We're going to see Knighthood a lot with Ahsoka. You know, depending how good she becomes and how sort of meta shapes, and if Blue Hero becomes anywhere near playable, Knighthood is going to be one I think we see at least tried with initially, and we'll have to see how Blue Hero fares.
Moving right into draft itself, do you like this format?
Yes, I love the format. I think it's really, really fun, interactive. It's really, really key to understanding cards and how they play. So if someone's not familiar with like Tabletop Simulator and is not using the proxies or interacting with the game online, this is how they familiarize themselves. Because in draft, you're typically playing a different kind of game. It's a lot slower. There's a little bit more turn-based. They've kind of slowed down some things with this set also. So it's going to let them kind of absorb what they're doing, read the cards, give them time to comprehend how the game mechanics are working in the new edition. That way, when they're ready to play in a competitive setting, things are more familiar to them. Because for me, like, I can't tell you how many times I've seen cards and tried to play cards, but then when I was forced to try to make them work with other cards, found out they were really good. So with draft, this is how you kind of get familiar and introduce someone into the game also.
Yeah, I really like draft. We play a lot at my local, obviously when a set drops, but we also have a cube, and that comes out sort of around about mid-meta when no one wants to actually buy packs anymore. And we have a lot of fun with that. As it's already been said, it's a great way to bring in new players. We've got someone who's been waiting to join our local group for a couple of weeks now, and he's just been waiting for a draft because he's not got a lot of cards. So it's a great time for him to come in. He's not going to be disadvantaged at that point. And, you know, it's just going to be a sort of casual, really sort of friendly event as well. So it's just a great time for new players to come in.
I also really love draft. I know that I don't do it as much as I would like to. I really love what it presents. It presents a equal footing, like everybody comes to the tournament on the same level. They are bringing the draft kit and they are getting the same packs. What they are getting, that's random. It's like a box of chocolate. So that's right there. It's really engaging. And then when you're drafting, you have skill of what you're picking and you're building. I really do love it. I wish I could play more of it. And drafting is really awesome.
Do you think drafting with allies will be better, worse, or about the same as it has been with rivals?
I think it's going to be better. I think more people are going to be drafting longer. I think cubes are going to be more fun. And I feel that it's going to be more balanced, if that makes sense. So I think that overall, better draft set, more visibility to people's interest because, oh, look at this mechanic, or there's downgrades we can play now, and there's more turn-based that's available to us. Things don't seem so broken, essentially. So I think it's going to definitely help the game. It's just there's things that they need to do to help drive that so people want to come out and attend if they haven't played this game before.
For me, Rivals, especially when the first set dropped, so when we had it with Legacies, I thought draft was a lot of fun. It got a little bit harder to do it with Way of the Force across the galaxy because a lot of the mitigation was kind of like spot and it had criteria to it. So I am a little bit concerned with Convergence kind of going along that same path, if it's going to be a bit too sort of restricted in that sense compared to what it was like with Rivals and Legacies.
I think it would be better just because Allies had a lot more layers to it than Rivals. You have the introduction of subtitles, on top of like your colors and sort of your affiliation, depending if you're running an affiliation fixed card. So I think that will make drafting a lot more engaging compared to Rivals. Instead of being like, okay, I need Rainbow, it's be like, okay, I need Assist. Okay, I need to include the Shapeshifter because I want to play this card that requires a spot. I think that adds a level to drafting that is a lot more strategic than you previously had. So I'm hoping that that will engage players more than Rivals did.
I think for people that come from like a Magic meta are going to appreciate it more. Because for me, I like things that have layers like that. It does make it more difficult to build, which is kind of neat because the meta is not so quickly defined. It takes longer for the meta to define. So it's not like your first two big tournaments, everyone's set on these decks. It may take a little bit longer because there is more things to discover, subtypes that we can try to change or manipulate. And I think that's going to make it to where people that play Magic that already kind of deal with those subtypes and things of that nature as far as mechanics are going to be more enticed to come over and be like, oh, that's neat. It's like Magic. Oh, that sounds fun. We could do this. And then they, you know, get the idea of rolling out the dice and then trying to change your board state and your dice with your cards that you have. It adds a whole other element to those people and maybe they'll shift over. Nick, also known as Rizzle, part of the Jackalman, he was a huge Magic player and he would play Magic or he would play Destiny with me occasionally. And now with these new mechanics and the way that this game's kind of unfolding, he's ready to sell his Magic cards. He's ready to just completely jump in and start playing Destiny. And that feels good for someone that's been trying to build this game for a little over a year.
What, if anything, could FFG do to make drafting more viable and, dare I say, competitive?
You know, it would be neat if the price for the draft set was reasonably priced, you know, and I think that they're doing that so far. I don't think it's out of its price range. So that's good. I'm trying to think of what else they could do better other than just like a neat trophy of some sort or some exclusive prize or OP kit for it. And there's got to be something other than just buying packs and playing. And I know that the store can do things and, you know, I know that they can offer their own little niches and so forth, but there's got to be something FFG does. I know they did something way back when or maybe recently, I can't remember, but where you would try to achieve certain goals, like if you get 3 shields during a certain round or if you deal 4 indirect during a certain round, you would get like a bonus full art card. And a lot of the stores didn't do that. Like, I don't think people were really interested in it. It's a neat idea because it's a goal that you can go after and it kind of pulls people in. But I don't think the prizes are big enough. They got to do something there other than just, hey, here's your cards, here's your draft set, so forth and so on. And then here's, you know, a few tokens or whatever. Because there's tokens content creators are putting out similar to Sarah that are way better than what FFG is doing. So, you know, we shouldn't be excited about a Vader helmet that has white lines on it when there's other people that have like credits that are like rectangle shaped and full cutout tokens that look like Emphas Nest helmets or Stormtrooper helmets that have the red lines on them. I mean, there's things that, you know, content creators are putting out that are far more appealing. So they got to step it up.
For me, I'm quite happy for them to keep draft away from competitive play. I think it's a great way to getting new people in. And if you make it too competitive, that could be a bit of a turnoff point. So I'm quite happy for them just to keep it quite casual, but maybe have, if we could have prizes that are rewarded for participating more than if actually doing well in the draft. And just generally, I mean, if they can give stores maybe a discount, if they can prove that or they're doing something, like they're doing a few drafts with it or something like that. I mean, FFG have been great with, at least I know from my local, is that they, if they bought like 2 or 3 booster boxes and they pre-ordered them, they then gave them like 8 rival sets to use within the cafe. And that was a great way of getting people to, basically, they don't have to jump in and buy rivals. They can just turn up on the day, use the CAFS version. And then if we're using a cube, they don't even have to buy packs. So that's been a great way for us to try and get people to get into the game. So if FFG could do a little bit more there to maybe help the stores, even if it's just maybe providing like promotional material, so they've got posters to put in their windows or, you know, just give them some sort of incentive to drive people into playing draft.
That's a good idea. You don't see a lot of like posters or stand-ups or anything for Destiny. I haven't. You see tons of stuff for all these other games that people have in their windows and stuff of that sort. But I mean, if they just either gave them away or sold them at a really cheap price, I mean, it would be neat to have something advertised in that window to kind of pull people in. I mean, it wouldn't be hard to have like a spaceship hanging from you know, the ceiling from some cardboard cutout that advertises Destiny. You know, things like that are very simple and attractive that they could do to help promote a little bit more. I would like to see that for sure.
For me, there's a couple of things I think that they can do. The first one would be to release the draft kit before the base set. I think that would help drive more interest in draft. So you're not bored of the set when you get the draft kit. Instead, just wait if you have to, like make sure that you are putting it as a priority to get the draft kit out. I think that would help. And the second thing would be, I think, to offer some sort of package deal to the stores. Like they could buy a kit that has like 8 draft kits, 8 box, and some promos at a like discount. I think that could try to drive more interest into it if you have a event that is sponsored by FFG and like what they had before, but a little bit more organized and a little bit more pre-prepared. Thoughts?
I mean, I think you've said it most. You have a good idea of what the community needs, and I agree with you. I think that is a good approach, and I think that, you know, people just, the problem that we have a lot of is, in my area, is these stores that put on these tournaments, they don't push them enough. That's the issue that we have down here. And if they're not pushing them, and FFG isn't doing something over the top, it just dries up. That's kind of what has happened. And that's kind of one of the reasons why we've wanted to do the Jackal Hunt with all these trophies and deck boxes and custom tokens and all these neat things, is because we have to be kind of that heart that's pumping out all these things that are keeping the game alive.
Wrapping up this podcast, let's dive right into what card from the Awakenings block would you like to see get reprinted?
Not Crime Lord. I don't know. I think if I have to choose something that's balanced, that's fun, that's consistent, that closes out games, I would like to see Backup Muscle. I love that card. It's helped me win so many games. It sneaks in damage. It moves it over. That would be my choice, because I don't think it's anything over the top. I think it's something that could be potentially possible. That would be the card of my choice.
For me, I've gone with Close Quarters Assault, because I don't think there's that many way for stick decks to really hit the hand. And I would really like to see that card come back as just a way of getting in there and just trying to influence the hand.
For me, I got to go with another removal card. And that card is Loth, Cat, and Mouse. I think it is very balanced. It's not like he doesn't like you. I think having your opponent select a die to remove before you do is fair and balanced, and it's a zero cost removal, so it's definitely will see play if it gets reprinted.
Those are great choices. I agree.
Yeah, with Loth, Cat, and Mouse, it's like we weren't going to see He Doesn't Like You again, but that's always been a kind of poorer version of it, and it's always felt really bad having to play Cat and Mouse when, you know, the villains have got that, you know, they can choose the die that they remove. So I think that's going to be a fair card if it gets reprinted to see in the weight of what we've seen for Convergence so far.
Moving right along into our shotgun questions, it is now time for our shotgun questions.
Oh God, here we
Ashton, go. Ashton, are you ready?
I think so.
What is your favorite card in Star Wars Destiny?
Gah, Boba Fett.
What is your least favorite card in Star Wars Destiny?
Probe.
What is one card in Star Wars Destiny that you think is underrated?
That's a tough one. Saul Guerrera.
What is the one card that you think is overrated?
Hey, a shotgun has 2 bullets. What kind of ammunition? No, I'm just joking. All right, what was that question again?
What one card in Star Wars Destiny do you think is overrated?
Oh, man. Snoke.
Last question. What is one canon Star Wars character that you would like to see in Star Wars Destiny that has not yet been featured?
Darth Bane.
Awesome. Beautiful. It is now time to wrap things up. Thank you, Ashton, for joining us for this wonderful discussion. I had a lot of fun, and I am sending you our best wishes for the Jackal Hunt.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun, as always.
If people would like to contact you, where can they find you?
Our Jackalman Games Discord's good. Our Facebook page is always up and running, and someone's always viewing it. And you can always reach us at jackalmangames@gmail.com.
Sarah, if people would like to find you, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter under Miss Sevens. You can also find me in quite a few Discords, including the Ira Bell one now.
And you can find me on Twitter at Jedi Geek Girl. That concludes this episode of Ira Bell. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, I have been Jedi Geek Girl, and she has been Sarah. Jedi Geek Girl, out.
This has been Ira Bell, a Star Wars Destiny podcast. I have been your host, Jedi Geek Girl. If you would like to contact me, please send me an email at irabelldestiny@gmail.com. And as always, may the Force be with you. Ira Bell is an independent podcast, not associated with Lucasfilm, Disney, Fantasy Flight Games, or any other organization. All copyrights for Star Wars Destiny, and all other properties belong to the proper copyright holders.